This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, Pluto flyby, earthiest planet yet, and buckyballs in space. The dwarf planet Pluto received a visit this month from NASA's New Horizons space probe, revealing spectacular features of colour, atmosphere, and geology on the solar system's ninth most massive object. As described on last month's Jodcast, New Horizons has carried an array of instruments towards Pluto since 2006, but has only just flown by the dwarf planet, lingering long enough to capture images of Pluto and its largest moon, Charon, which have greatly changed our view of them. Amongst the spectacular discoveries was the apparent variety of Pluto's surface textures. Whilst it was expected that Pluto would be inert and pockmarked by billions of years of impacts from smaller lumps of ice and rock, the data received from New Horizons showed a relatively fresh and clean-looking surface, indicating that either the rate of bombardment is much lower than thought in this part of the solar system, or that the geological activity on Pluto reconfigures its crust and smooths away the impact craters. Initial guesses from astronomers are that this indicates that the surface is only around 100 million years old, a comparatively short span in the few billion years since Pluto's formation. Further evidence of geological activity was also seen in other features. Huge mountains appear to rise 3.5 kilometres up, comparable to the Canadian Rockies here on Earth, but are apparently made of water ice, the only ice strong enough at minus 235 Celsius to be capable of supporting such large structures. Away from the mountains, and at the edge of the prominent heart-shaped region, named the Tombaugh region after Pluto's discoverer, there are also apparent glaciers of frozen nitrogen flowing and merging around the more solid features. What is creating the warmth causing these glaciers to move is so far unknown, but could be radioactive processes within the rocky core of the dwarf planet. New Horizons' view of Pluto's companion Charon also provided surprises, with the moon showing huge canyons kilometres long, possibly caused by tidal forces from Pluto, and a dark polar region christened Mordor. Further information on Pluto and Charon will come in a torrent over the next 16 months, the time it will take to download all that which has already been taken by the New Horizons instruments. Before turning its attention away from Pluto, New Horizons also took measurements of its atmosphere. As well as a spectacular image showing the sun lighting up the haze around the dwarf planet, the probe also measured the deflection of radio waves sent from Earth in order to measure the density of the atmosphere, showing it to have around half the mass inferred from previous measurements. As well as the wealth of data still to be downloaded from this month's observations, New Horizons will now travel on towards the Kuiper Belt of small objects which encircles the solar system, where it plans to rendezvous with one or two of the larger 50-mile-wide objects in around 5 years' time. Also this month, much excitement was generated by the latest release of information on extrasolar planets, that is, planets outside our solar system, from the Kepler satellite. Of particular interest of the 12 was the planet known as Kepler-452b, as it is one of the most Earth-like so far discovered, even if there is some way to go before any true Earth analogues are confirmed. Kepler-452b has around 5 times the mass, 1.5 times the radius, and twice Earth's gravity, meaning that it doesn't score as highly on the Earth Similarity Index, or ESI, used to rank exoplanets of some of those previously discovered. It does, however, exist in an orbit around a G-class star, very similar in attributes to our own Sun, at a distance putting it in the habitable zone where estimated temperature and atmospheric pressures may be able to support the formation of liquid water. Much else remains unknown about the planet, with a technical paper describing its discovery giving only around a 50-50 chance of it being a rocky terrestrial planet rather than a small gas one. Travel times would also be long. Kepler-452b is 1,400 light-years away in Cygnus, meaning that it would take the New Horizons probe some 26 million years to get there at its current speed. It is, however, further evidence of the richness of variety of exoplanets which exist, and a fantastic demonstration of astronomers' ability to discover and learn about such tiny, faint, and distant objects. And finally, a research problem dating back nearly a century was given a probable solution this month by the discovery of some unique properties of buckyballs in space. Buckminster fullerenes, to give the full name to the football-shaped constructions of 60 carbon atoms, have been known to exist in space since 2010, when the Spitzer infrared satellite observed them in the remnants of a white dwarf star. This month, a team of chemists at the University of Basel in Switzerland managed to create a cold, high-vacuum environment approximating interstellar space and measured the spectra of buckyballs, that is, how they absorb and emit different colours of light when trapped there by electric fields. These light spectra appeared consistent with so-called diffuse interstellar bands observed in interstellar gas both inside and outside our own galaxy. These diffusing stellar bands were first observed by the University of California graduate student Mary Lee Hager in 1919 and have had multiple suggested explanations since, with some even proposing that they could be from free-floating deep space bacteria. The discovered match with the properties of buckyballs appears to be a very good one, however, showing how technically challenging chemistry work it took the team in Basel nearly 20 years to achieve can shed light on astronomical problems.